How about that? The Tommy Castro Band squeezing the life out of the boogie down here at the Waterfront Blues Festival 06. Uncle Mort down here with Eve at KBOO Portland's live broadcast, 19th year of the Waterfront Festival. And the last performance we'll be hearing tonight. Let me turn this over to Eve, and then we'll send you along to interviews.
Yeah, we'll have interviews after that. But we want to remind you that this live broadcast is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and support from blues lovers at A&E, the Oregonian's Arts and Entertainment Guide, which includes blues coverage every week all year long, and from Verilan Global Network Solutions, providing custom network services and support for special events, conferences, meetings, and seminars. You can learn more about them, Verilan at verilan.com. Coming up on the next stage is Dr. John. We won't be broadcasting that for various reasons, but we will have some an hour-long interview, and we're going back to Uncle Marty.
That's right. Eduardo Delanderos-Tierra will be talking with Music Cares, a nonprofit organization that provides support for musicians down and out. And following that, an interview with the Oregon Food Bank. And finally, a bilingual talk with a Latino merchant right down here at the Waterfront Blues Festival. Stay tuned for all of that. And for additional great KBOO programming 24 hours a day in stereo.
Hey, yeah, great.
And this is Eduardo again, and I do am riding this incredible energy that's called the Waterfront Blues Festival. I have with me somebody from an organization called
the Hepatitis C Caring Ambassadors Program.
Okay, let's tell folks your name first of all.
My name's Lauren Sant.
Okay, and let's tell me what your organization does and why it's here at the Waterfront Blues Festival.
Well, the Hepatitis C Caring Ambassadors Program is all about awareness and advocacy for people with hepatitis C. There's over 4 million people with hepatitis C in America. Most of them don't know they have it, and so our main objective is to get everybody tested and aware they have it so they can do something about it. So we're here today at the Waterfront Blues Festival to make sure everyone in Portland that's here knows whether they have this disease and gets tested for it.
Okay, these tests, just tell people what these tests are. And here at the festival, are they free or what?
It's a free test. It takes about 2 minutes. It's just a quick finger prick, and it's an antibody screening test. And so basically it tells you whether you've been exposed to the virus or not.
And again, this is a festive event, so it's kind of, is it kind of unusual to have such a serious concern at a music festival? Can you make that connection?
Well, you know, it is, but also there's a lot of people here that are of the age range that need to be tested. The disease is most prevalent in people that are of the ages of 35 to 60, and so the audience here is the perfect people to be tested, so it's another reason for us to be here, and why not just make sure you're healthy while you're enjoying the music.
When you say it's the perfect audience to be tested, what do you mean by that?
Well, again, the age range, that is the most prevalent age range. They're estimated 1 in 50 Americans have it, but from the ages of 45 to 55, the prevalence is up about 5%. So there's a good chance that there's quite a few people here that are positive, and most people don't know they have the virus, and so, because it's a silent disease, and it lives inside your body for many, many years, and unnoticed, and people don't know they have it. So it's time to get tested. It's not a test you get at your doctor's office. So we're doing it for free. We're out here. We're just having a good time, and we're hoping everybody will join us and making sure that they're healthy.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to add that people should be knowing about the testing? And I want to also later talk about Music Care, but...
Well, you know, we're here joined with Music Care so that we can test the musicians as well, because it's important for everyone, no matter what walk of life that they come from, that they get tested for hepatitis C. There is no vaccine for this disease, and many people think they've been vaccinated for it. They've been vaccinated for hepatitis A and hepatitis B, but there is no vaccine for hepatitis C, so it's important for us to be out here and get that educational message across.
Okay, if people want to get in contact with you or have to do the test themselves outside of the festival, how can they do that?
My website is www.hepcchallenge.org. That's like Pepsi Challenge, but hepcchallenge.org. And I am here in Portland, but I have a toll-free number of 877-737-4372, and I'm happy to talk to anybody anytime. My name's Lauren.
Great. Now, I want to talk a little bit now about music care. And so let's do that. I have another guest with me. And she's, right now, this is the beauty of spontaneous radio, because we get to take off our headphones and do all this neat adjusting. So, let's see.
So you want to talk about music here?
Yeah, let's talk. First of all, let's tell people who you are. Who are you?
My name is Kelly, and I actually do a lot of awareness of hepatitis C through music and musicians. I always say a spoonful of music helps the awareness go down, okay? And Music Cares has partnered with us, Hep C Aware, and we've done awareness with musicians, but also a lot of musicians across the country have partnered with us as well and provided information at their gigs. We have about 150 bands across the country
Wow.
that are raising awareness at their shows.
Right, right. And again, Music Care is based out of where? And
Music Care is based out of Nashville, L.A., New York. They have the main office is in New York, but they're in Los Angeles. They actually are starting, a chapter up here in Portland. And they are, basically, they're a safety net for critical assistance of music people.
Wow.
People in the industry. So if somebody finds that they, you know, they got sick and they can't afford to pay their rent, Music Cares will help them. Music Cares will help pay for a second test for Hep C if that's needed, or even help with treatment. Music Cares is helping musicians take care of their illnesses.
You're saying that there's just a high prevalence of Hep C among artists, among musicians?
You know, I've been asked that many times, and I can't really give you a fact, because we haven't had any kind of test like that.
Right.
I did a testing event with musicians and also actors and people in the entertainment business. It was 40% of the people that came to get tested were positive.
Wow.
But, you know, it was a small amount of people, and I think right now a lot of people who are concerned about hepatitis C and want to get tested, they kind of know, they may kind of know they have it, or they've felt they have it. But the reality is we need to get to the general population, people who don't even think about it.
Right.
The one thing that people, I don't know if Lauren said this, but there is no vaccine for hepatitis C.
Wow.
There is for A, there is for B, but there is no vaccine for C. So people, when you're talking to them, they think, oh, I've been vaccinated for C. And I have to remind them, no, you haven't. So here's some information.
Right. So I guess that sort of makes sense why you would be here at the Blues Festival. Have you approached some of the bands here? I mean,
Well, yeah, we got Teresa James is going to be mentioning hepatitis C when she's playing it tomorrow at the workshop stage. And I think Tommy Castro's band, the girl that sells her CDs is going to give out some postcards for us. And so some of these bands actually are affected by hepatitis C. Some of these bands have members that have hepatitis C. Not a lot of people really want to admit they have hepatitis C because it's extremely stigmatized.
Okay.
And a lot like HIV was back in the day and still today. So we're trying to just get people to feel comfortable about talking about it so that, you know, people who are sick shouldn't feel stigmatized and alone.
Right, right.
But so, yeah, a lot of the musicians here have helped and helped me. And I think music is a way to educate people. It is a serious subject at a blues festival. But where else are you going to educate people? It's like our hearts are open.
Right.
We have tested a lot of people today. So people are interested in getting tested.
Well, when you go up to a musician, so you've gone backstage?
Gone backstage,
wow.
Yeah. And handed them a water that we created, this water that has some of the, you know, risk factors and some facts about hepatitis C to the musician. Hey, here's some water, and maybe read the information.
So, and what's been the reaction when you see something?
It's been pretty much positive. Like, wow, you're doing testing free. Music Cares is offering free testing. That's great. Because Music Cares will back it up and help support the musician if they find out they're positive. They'll help them.
Wow. Now, again, if people want to find out more about Music Care or call them, how can they reach them?
Music Cares can make me reached at musicares.org, Music Cares with one C,
okay.
.org, And, of course, Music Cares is the charity arm of the Recording Academy. It's the charity arm of the Grammys. It's a very wonderful organization, and they have merged with MAP, which is the Musicians Assistance Program.
Right.
And they're now together, and they're really focusing a lot on hepatitis C because it is a problem in the community.
Great. Now I have somebody else that has actually been affected by Hep C, and she is a survivor, I would say.
Yes.
So welcome. Let me say welcome.
Welcome.
Let's tell people who you are.
Well, my name is Andy Thomas, and I'm the founder and director of a nonprofit organization called Hep C Alert, and we're out of Miami, Florida.
Okay, and let's tell folks how you got involved with this. I know you got a personal story with this, too,
mm-hmm.
So let's start out with that.
Well, 1996, I was diagnosed with hepatitis C pretty much by accident. I had no clue that I had it, and we could trace back my probable exposure to, like, 1978. I was a medical assistant, and also had partied a little bit, so
okay.
I had a couple risk factors, but it was 18 years before I was diagnosed, and as the saying goes, you piss off a woman, you get a nonprofit.
Right.
that I decided to do something about it. My needs weren't being met, and I saw other people's needs not being met, and we've been really blessed to have been in business for this long, and this is what we do, and we work with Caring Ambassadors Program.
Okay.
So.
Again, tell us. I want to get a sense of your involvement with Music Cares and how. I know it's been a struggle for you,
mm-hmm.
and you're standing in front of me, and you look pretty energetic and stuff. But I know it hasn't been easy. So for people who don't know that struggle, I'd like you to be able to express that.
Well, finding out that you have a chronic lifelong illness when you're just absolutely clueless is very shocking. So it took a little while to come to grips with that. I had great medical care and was able to go through treatment. I had to do the treatment twice. The first time it didn't work, but the second time it did, and I've been free and clear of hepatitis C since 2004.
So even though somebody gets Hep C, there's still a lot of hope.
Yes, there is. And just knowing that you have it is empowering so you can take care of yourself. That's the first step in being able to take care of yourself, is knowing that you have something. And then taking steps to protect your health over time, like improving your diet, staying in shape, reducing alcohol intake, and then if treatment is appropriate for you, undergoing a course of therapy.
Right. Here at the festival, have you also been part of going through the crowds here, asking people, or what have you been doing?
Well, I'm doing the testing. That's my specialty.
Okay.
So I'm at over by the workshop stage, and I'm the sticker, the finger sticker.
Let's tell people what that testing is about.
Well, the testing is a test to determine whether or not somebody's been exposed to the virus. It will show up positive or negative. If it's negative, it means they've not been exposed. If it's positive, though, it means they have been. A second test is necessary in order to determine whether or not the person still has the virus in their system. They would have to see a doctor to get that test.
Okay, now, for people who are coming here to just have a good time and just listen to the music and just hang in the sun, what's the incentive for somebody to get over to where you are and get stuck? I mean,
actually, just knowing and taking care of their health, a very, very small amount of time, probably less than 3 minutes, and they can get some information that not only will empower them, but possibly save their lives. I don't know more of an incentive than that.
Okay. Now, again, for people who come to the festival, is there a prominent sign someplace that people can look for? Where are you located and stuff?
We're there's a sign, a placard out in front that says free hepatitis C testing, but we're over by the workshop stage, and we're just a little bit before, as you're walking towards the other stages, by the red music bus.
Okay.
So they can find us.
Great. And if people want to reach you by telephone or by the internet, or how can they get in contact with you?
Well, the toll-free number is 877-737-4372. Or, I'm sorry, the www.hepcchallenge.org. That's www.hepcchallenge.org.
Okay, it was great talking to all of you.
Thank you.
And I guess I might be walking over there myself.
Good, I'm glad. I'll be your sticker.
and get myself stuff.
Good.
Thank you very much for dropping by.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Now, I think it's, since we are a music fest, it's time to take that music break. So I'm going to just hang back and let's hear some music.
I had a friend one time. At least I thought he was my friend. When he came to me, said, I ain't got no place to go. Said, take it easy, man, 'cause you can come home to my house. I'll get you a pillow where you can rest your head. Took him home.
I don't know where you're going, and I don't know where you've been. Won't even call me on the telephone. Why not? You won't even write me, and you won't even call me on the telephone. And I know, baby, you've been gone too long. Every day, and every day brings about a change. Every day. Every day.
come sit on my knee. While I tell the whole wide world what you mean to me, I'm glad I met you.
Oh, honey, are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you.
I can't believe you. Your love feels that way too, but you do. Here with you at my side, my whole world's up in stride. Oh Lord, I'm so glad I met you.
You got something to say, Claire?
Tell folks who you are again.
I'm Rachel Bristol. I'm the executive director at Oregon Food Bank.
Okay, and again, repetition is never a bad thing. So let's tell your folks how much success you've had so far here at the Blues Festival. And
Well, we don't really have a lot of numbers yet. I would guesstimate that we're probably at about $8,000 and 10,000 pounds of food so far.
Wow.
We're hoping to raise $500,000 and 150,000 pounds of food over the five-day festival.
And your presence, I mean, there's a lot of music here, and there's a lot of celebration. So at the same time, you're trying to do something very, very profound, very serious, and that's deal with hunger here in the state. So
that's
we got
right.
Music, and yet you have all this food around, an abundance of food, and then you have Oregon Food Bank. That's, to me, in my head, that's sort of like, wow, we have abundance, and then we have this other side where...
Yeah, I can see that. Although we've designed this festival over the years so that our sponsors and vendors essentially help us cover the cost of logistics so that folks can come to the festival for only $8 and two cans of food for 10 hours of music a day. You know, what an incredible deal. Folks can bring in their own food and sodas if they want.
Sodas too, huh?
No alcohol, no glass, of course, for safety's sake. But we feel that there's a real deep connection between blues music and the struggle that that music portrays and the issue of hunger.
Can you go into that a little bit?
Well, I'll try.
Okay.
I think that we feel it particularly this year as Oregon Food Bank is part of a national network of food banks, and we were involved in helping out with the response efforts to Katrina down in the New Orleans area. We have a number of musicians playing the festival this year from New Orleans. We have a chef who came all the way up from New Orleans to reinstate that connection last fall. Thanks to the partners who we've been working with for the last 19 years putting on this blues festival, we were able, in a matter of 2 weeks, pull together a one-day blues festival that raised $110,000 for relief down in the Gulf Coast hurt by Katrina. So many of the musicians who came to play for that event are coming back this year. It's a real combination of local blues music, which is very strong here in the Portland area, and national musicians. Our talent coordinator, Peter Damon, just does a phenomenal job of really getting a variety of music so that there's a little something for everyone down here.
Right.
And yeah, people are having fun while doing something about a serious issue like hunger, but you know, what better way to make it easy for people to come out in the community and really help their neighbors? People feel real great about coming here. They have a good time, and they know that those bucks they're spending are helping Oregon Food Bank. Well, we estimate that the net of this festival for us will help us move about 3.5 million pounds of food. That's about a month's worth of supply for nearly 200,000 people.
Okay. Is there a collaboration then going on between the food bank here in the Northwest with a similar organization down in New Orleans? Or
yeah.
How's that working?
Right.
How's that work anyway?
Well, there's an organization called America's Second Harvest. It's headquartered in Chicago. And it works with a national network of food banks like Oregon Food Bank. There are 200 member food banks nationwide. So when the Gulf Coast was hit, we sent one of our statewide drivers down to Mississippi to help move food down there. Over a period of about 4 months, we provided all of the inventory control support for the New Orleans Food Bank with our staff here. We have one of the largest food banks in the country, actually.
I didn't know that.
In terms of volume moved. And we work with a pretty complex computerized inventory system, which they had just rolled out there in New Orleans. And with the devastation down there, the folks who knew how to operate it weren't able to be there.
Right.
And so we were able to train staff in addition to our 4-member inventory staff. And over a period of time, like I said, 4 months, we helped them to keep that food moving and keep all of it tracked, which is very important for donors, that they know that the money and the food is going where it's supposed to go.
And now this type of effort between the Northwest and New Orleans, is this, and you mentioned a computerized system, is this system then going to be expanded to other parts of the country that are in need of, that are experiencing hunger, or what?
Oh, absolutely. The national network comes together about twice a year. We come together on a regional basis in the western region. There are about 38 food banks. And we're able to work together both on a regional basis in sharing food and sharing technical expertise in things like computerized inventory systems, helping people learn how to set up a food pantry to help right in their neighborhoods. And then we connect also on the larger national level with an annual conference. And then, of course, in the event of a disaster, our role here in Oregon is to move food to the area of need. And when something happens nationally, we're on alert and offering support to the national network as well.
What are some of the areas in this country that are experiencing a lot of hunger?
You know, it's pretty widespread. certainly the South, which has a very high poverty rate, and then you have the added devastation of the floods down there. You know, their demand has more than doubled. In Oregon, our demand has doubled over the last 10 years.
Why is that?
Well, a lot of it has to do with changes in our social support programs.
Like
back in 1996, there was something that was most people heard of as welfare reform. You know, we're going to get people off welfare. We're going to put them to work. And a lot of people did go to work, and that's a good thing. But unfortunately, there are still far too few living wage jobs. So what's happened is people went to work, but they're still very poor, and they can't make enough money to make ends meet. So what we've seen over the last decade is not only the people who have a temporary emergency when, you know, a spouse gets ill or there's a medical crisis or, you know, a fire or something like that, but we're seeing a growing number of working poor who are having to turn to charity for help, because the public support systems just aren't there in the way that they used to. One of the biggest cost savings of the Welfare Reform Act in 1996 was a major, major cut to the food stamp program.
Wow.
So that since that time, if you're a single adult without dependents, you can only get 3 months worth of food stamps in a 5-year period.
That's incredible.
So that means, you know, a program that is supposed to be the major safety net against hunger in our country is no longer there for many, many of our people.
Again, I know that it's kind of strange being in this festival, and right now it's you know, Friday night, you know, and we're talking some really serious things, and against a backdrop of some really great music, and a lot of people are really festive, and yet here you and I are talking about this hunger of all things at a music festival on a Friday night. So,
but remember, it's the blues, and the blues comes from a tradition of folks who've been down and out and know some really hard times.
Yeah.
And I think the musicians do a good job of keeping our message in front of the audience as it turns day by day. They're very good about, you know, reminding with their music and with stage announcement that this festival is about feeding hungry people in Oregon and Southwest Washington.
The blues and hunger. Okay. If people want to contact you, want to be of help, or maybe even volunteer, how does that work? If somebody wants to volunteer with you, for example, tell me, how does that work?
You can give us a call at 503-282-0555. Or a very easy way is to go on our website at www.oregonfoodbank.org, and that will tell you many, many ways you can help, from getting involved in some of our advocacy work on the underlying causes of hunger, to doing food drives, to signing up to come work in our warehouse, help us repack food. We do a lot of repackaging of food in our facility. And
you have a new facility, don't you, or something?
It's about 4 years old. It's allowed us to double the volume of food we're moving and quadruple the number of volunteers who are helping us. And that's part of why we've been able to double the volume of food, because a lot of the food that we weren't able to take before is food that comes in bulk form, or it's highly perishable, has to be refrigerated. So now we have a facility with space that is designed to handle that type of food, to repack it with high sanitation standards. So we have about 15,000 volunteers that work in our operations on an annual basis, including events like the festival here.
Yeah.
1,500 volunteers are helping us out the next 5 days.
Will you be planning other events to gather more food? What happens after this festival? What's coming up?
In the fall, we have a number of drives. Cannes Film Festival is one that many folks know about, where you can go to the the theaters that I can't remember the name of right now. I apologize. You know, bring a few cans of food. One of our big drives is in May, on just before Mother's Day. The letter carriers do a drive statewide that raises 1.5 million pounds of food in one day. But there's many, many folks are doing small drives on their own and helping us out, helping our network of agencies out. And we can always link folks up with a food pantry or other helping program close by to them, so it doesn't always have to come direct into Oregon Food Bank. We can make it easy for you to help, and just in virtually any way you want.
Great. And is there a phone number for that people can call too?
Yep, 503-282-0555.
Once again?
503-282-0555.
Okay, and any last comments about how you've been feeling these blues and also working to fight hunger?
This is the most phenomenal festival for a fundraising and food raising event to go on for 19 years in a row and get more successful every year, more dynamic every year. It's really a pretty phenomenal thing. And I just want to say thanks to all of the folks in the community that are coming out and are donating, as well as our sponsors, our vendors and volunteers, and our producer, Clay Fuller, and talent coordinator, Peter Damon, that make this whole thing work.
And I just want to make sure that people know the website. Once again, the website
is www.oregonfoodbank.org.
The blues, and I'm hungry. People are hungry. That's the blues. Now it's time for a music break. And let's do that. Let's go from the blues and hunger and to music.
This road I'm on is all I know. Some days high, some days low. Folks say I'm stuck in the wrong lane. It's not enough. But there's not enough time to change. Can't hold back the hands of that merciless clock. I'd change some things if I only could. But I am who I am, and even though I give a damn, stay
to change.
Louder, proud, everybody, Serrano! One more time, Serrano! Ladies and gentlemen, Serrano King!
Make me feel like that.
Well, you just gotta love a man that loves a big-legged woman. Anyways, you folks have been listening to, just so you know, in between, after we were through broadcasting live at 9 o'clock, you heard a little bit of Dr. John in the background, but the powers that be, folks, the powers that be, if we could, we would, but we couldn't. So anyways, just to let you know, you heard the Animals there with I'm Mad Again, and also in there, Buddy Guy, I Don't Know. And Guitar Shorty, I'm So Glad I Met You. And you just heard Freddie King, Big Legged Woman. Oh, also Irma Thomas up in there with Not Enough Time to Change. She's part of the festival this year, so we slipped her in there. And next, now we're going to hear Otis Rush, High Society. Thanks for listening. Tune in again tomorrow at noon when we start broadcasting live again. And until that time, enjoy your blues, folks.
take an intermission. We'll be right back.